us, but I wanted to say something before we start. So during worship, you could really feel the presence of God. And I know for a fact, I feel it in my spirit, that there's people here that are battling addiction. And that's not what my scriptures are on. But if you're battling addiction, you need to ask God for a good dose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you need to get the power of God in you, enough of the addiction. Cigarettes, marijuana, I don't care if it's legalized or not. Don't use it as a crutch to replace Jesus Christ. If you need to be, if your tank is empty, this isn't even my notes, by the way. Whew. If your tank is empty, it needs to be filled by Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. No chemicals can fill it. If you don't believe me, I know it for fact. I was filled with the Holy Spirit, baptism of the Holy Ghost, when I was 18 years old. That was many years ago, by the way. But you, Brittany was filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit when she was 7 years old on Pearl Harbor Day. She was speaking in tongues around an altar. And if you need to get free from addiction, cigarettes need to go, and I'm not really picking on anybody because I love you all, but your tank needs to be filled up with only Jesus Christ. All right, now back to the notes. Or no, there is no notes. But I'm just saying that we're filling up our tanks with all these chemicals and everything that Jesus can provide us when he is the only one that can fulfill it. And anyway, it costs a lot of money too. But anyway, that's another story. Okay, so when Harley asked about me doing this, and I immediately felt like God wanted me to speak on trusting him. We've all been through many, many battles in our life. We've had to trust God. I lost my twin brother. I lost my parents when I was a teenager. I've had one thing after another, but really, Harley, Pastor Harley, when I found out I was going to do this and I started thinking about it and preparing myself mentally and all that, even though I'm a classroom teacher, if you want more preaching, come to 40th and 9th Street. That's where I teach. Those poor kids heard it all day today. But anyway, Pastor Harley, when you mentioned this about me doing this and I started thinking about trusting the Lord, all hell broke loose. Pretty soon, oh, your furnace is broke. Oh, they're not going to cover Landon's prescription. Oh, all hell broke loose in my life. Like, not all hell, but partial hell. And things started going wrong, and I got some bad news and stuff. And all of a sudden, I went, wait a minute. I am going to trust the Lord with all my heart and lean not on my own understanding. But that's somebody else's scripture, so I'm not going to take that one. But what I am going to say is, when I am afraid, I will put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise. In God I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can mere mortal do to me? We have to put our complete trust in God. No, we can't walk on our feelings. Oh, I don't feel like it. Too bad. We have to trust God. That's the bottom line. We're not going to get through this life. These last days, everybody's going to tempt us. Everybody's going to have us doing drugs and acting like the world. And, oh, she's a boy. No, now she's a girl. Oh, she's this, she's that. No, you have to trust God. You only can rely on him. There's going to be dark days. They're going to try to get you to take the mark of the beast. If you can't stand now, you're not going to be able to stand then. Trust God. Okay, so tonight, what time is it? See what happens when you give me the microphone? You're going to be sorry for this. Okay, so tonight, I have asked some women who I felt, so if I didn't ask you, don't be left out. Don't feel left out. You'll get next time. But I asked some women, 12 women, 12 apostles, to talk about, I gave them scriptures on trusting God, and then they're going to say maybe a little blurb or maybe a longer blurb about times in their life when they've had to practice with trusting God. And we're doing this. I want to do this as an encouragement to you. If you're having trouble trusting God, I want you to just kind of glean from this and soak it in that there's testimonies of people who trusted God and got through the darkness. Okay? All right. Teresa, come on down. You're the next contestant. And after Teresa is Jolynn.
I was so happy you gave me this verse. I just love it. I'll first read it in the New American Standard Version, which you had written out. It's Psalm 143, verse 8. Let me hear your faithfulness in the morning, for I trust in you. Teach me the way in which I should walk, for to you I lift up my soul. I memorized this verse early in my walk with Jesus, and I had it on my headboard on a big card, and I had to start my morning with it. And I liked the King James Version then, and it goes, cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the ways wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. And between that one and Psalm 4:8 says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for the Lord my God only makes me dwell in safety. I still just get goosebumps when I think of those two verses together, taped onto my headboard, when I was a single mom, alone, not knowing where I was going to live. But I had Jesus, and I was so thrilled. I was so thrilled. I'd wake up in the morning, and I would look at and recite that verse. And before I went to sleep every night, I would recite out loud Psalm 4:8, because I could sleep in peace, and I knew I was safe. And my days were framed by that, because I knew that no matter, I had people in my life that loved me, and that I loved dearly, but you can't count on people because people are just people and we're all just people, right? And it's this, framing your days with the word of God, the promises that he gives you, that he will speak to you when you ask. He will give you his word, his promises, and that's what you count on. This world is going to pass away. All the shiny objects and wonderful people that we know, they're not permanent, but God in his word is permanent. And beginning the day, ending the day with him, and don't take a breath without him. Sprinkle your days counting on him, trusting in him, because he will never fail you. And that is trust. That's the one truth that never changes is trust in him. Thank you.
Jolynn.
Psalms 112, verse 7. He will not fear bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. This can be there for you, to encourage you, to guide you in so many areas of your life. I myself went through divorce. I didn't know how I was going to make house payment, how I was going to support myself and three children. God provided. I had Boy Scout troops send over food. I had people from the church make gifts for my children. Had people from the church bring over food for the freezer and food for the cupboards. I helped my mother pay her rent, which then I didn't know how I was going to make house payment, and I got way more back in return. You have a loving, kind heart. God just provides in so many ways. I don't care if you... I had a gentleman where I used to work in Colorado, and so many of the men were trying to buy his vehicle because it was a classic. I didn't know. Anyway, he offered this vehicle to me at a fraction of the cost that some of the guys offered to pay him, and I really needed a vehicle. And I had that for many years and then passed it on to one of my sons. It just, so many ways we were provided for. I was sick here about a year ago, didn't know how I was going to pay this and that bill. I got 3 checks in the mail, unexpected, for $500. And God provides. Just trust. Call on God, ask him for his help, and God knows. He hears you. He'll answer your prayers. If you're sick, you need healing. You have family that needs healing. Ask God to heal. We are his children. Don't be ashamed to ask. Don't feel like you're asking for too much. We are his children. He wants us to come to him. Ask him to be more a part of your life, to provide, and meet him halfway, and then climb higher, go deeper, and praise and thank God. Thank you.
Brittany. Come on, Brittany. Brittany, where are you? Brittany, late.
Should have given me the heads up. I have Psalms 31, 14, and 15. But as for me, I trust in you, Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Oh, I had a lot of things running through my mind as far as times I've had to trust God, but one of the most substantial was recently when my husband, Bobby, got diagnosed with cancer. And the enemy was attacking our family. He was attacking Bobby's health, of course. The chemo was just rotten. It was horrible. And he was attacking our marriage because the chemo was rotten. And we were not getting along. He was attacking us financially. Bobby couldn't work. And it was it was really, really hard for a minute there. But all we could do is trust God, and we would pray together, and we would come to church and ask for you guys to pray for us, and things started coming around. Bobby's now cancer-free. Praise the Lord for that. He still has one more surgery to go, but we're on the up and up now, so... within that time, the Lord blessed me with a job promotion, significant raise. It was like a 20% increase or something. It was a good raise. And then Bobby started working again, and I feel like we are doing okay now. So the Lord was with us the whole time, even in the dark spots when we didn't see it at the time. But he was always there with us and with our 2 sons. So, amen.
Ronnie?
Ronnie. Well, I had to bring my Bible up. I do appreciate you having this, but there was, you know, how versions have different wording, and there was one particular word that I need to use out of this one, out of mine, so if it's okay, I'm going to, okay, thanks. All right, Heavenly Father, thank you. Well, Mrs. Brown, our school teacher, gave us an assignment, and I was fortunate to get my assignment early so I could prepare. Thank you, yeah. So thank you for that, Mrs. Brown. So I have Psalm 91, 1 through 6. Very familiar to us all, I'm sure. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. I just want to point out one thing. Five and six. You shall not be afraid of the terror at night, nor the arrow that flies by day, or the pestilence that walks in darkness, or the destruction that weighs waste at noonday. That's all day. It covers the entire day. And that's really amazing when you look at that. But so Paula had said specifically a time where you had to trust in God. And, you know, thinking about everything, I just thought, Lord, what one thing do I choose? What do I look for? What do I talk about? And so I decided to scroll down some things on my scroll. My one specific time was actually two. The same as our sister who spoke of two divorces for me in my life. And so in those divorces, my husband's, it turned out, I had to deal with very wicked people, my husband's, that turned out to be, and other people that became involved, and people who were supposed to love me, people who vowed to love me and cherish me, and as we do when we make our vows, right? And I didn't know much about divorce and abuse and rejection and all of that in the family that I grew up in. Praise the Lord for that. But all of a sudden now I'm living this not once but twice. And my mind and my body and my spirit were attacked to points where I just didn't know what to do. So at any rate, at one point through all of this chaos and everything, towards the end of it all, I was reminded of Psalms 91. And I had to rely, obviously, get to the point where you rely on God and you trust in God alone because you have nothing else to give. You have nothing else to live with, to survive. You can't breathe. You have to trust in God. But how do you do that? You know, when you're in that state of mind, and when I read Psalm 91, verse 3, where it says, surely, that's a promise. Surely He shall deliver you. And I remember reading that, and I was like, oh my gosh, I can receive this, and surely I will be healed, and surely I will be able to love again one day, and surely I can breathe. And not only will He deliver me from this, He's going to cover me through the rest of it, okay? And His truth, so we get in the Word, we learn what the truth is, and we live it. We receive it, and we live it. And when you can do that, you are able to stand. We are able to stand. This is truth. You can reject it or you can receive it. And when you receive it, you're new. You can have that peace that surpasses your understanding. I am a testimony that God works all things out for good. And I just go forward with that. And He has taken me out of much and He's brought me into much goodness. And so I look at verse 14 of the same psalm, verse 14, because He has set His love upon me, therefore I shall deliver Him. So, consider that. Where are you with Christ? Where are you with Christ? Where is your heart? He wants to deliver you. He wants to set you free. I recommend looking at Psalm 91 and the other ones that the ladies are going to be presenting tonight, and have some things be changed in your own personal life. Amen. Laura.
Thank you. Oh, goodness. So my verse is Psalm 9:10. And those who know you, and those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not abandoned those who seek you. So I just love how it's so matter of fact. Those who know your name will put their trust in you. And for those of us that know the Lord, know that's because he's trustworthy. He proves himself. And the time that came to my mind was a period of time when I was in treatment for my meth addiction. And typically after high-intensity treatment, the next step is a halfway house. And there was no room for me here. So they shipped me out to Grand Rapids, which, as far as I'm concerned, that's Hickville. And, you know, I have three daughters, and all my children live here. And through all my addiction and recovery, of course, the one thing I want is to be reunited with my children again. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. And so to be shipped hours away was really discouraging. And when I had gotten down there and kind of gotten settled in, I was told that I needed to start a life there. I needed to get a job. I needed to get my own apartment there. I was part of the drug court program, so they had a really strict guideline of steps of what you needed to do to complete it. And so from human perspective, I was going to be down there for years. So looking back, it's kind of interesting because I'm not exactly sure at the time if I knew I was trusting in the Lord in that sense. But when I look back on it, that's what I was doing. And what that looked like was continuing to submit to the Lord every day. And in doing so, being empowered by the Holy Spirit to remain joyful, to remain obedient to my treatment counselors and the people that were guiding me in the criminal aspect of it. And, you know, I wasn't going, no, I'm not doing this because I'm not living here. And, you know, I did everything they told me to do. I continued to be in the Word. I continued to approach each day with the best that I had to give at that time. And it wasn't long before I received a call from my probation officer. And at that time, Bethel was just a men's program. It was a men's halfway house, and it was the work prison release or whatever. And I received a call that they were opening up a woman's side, and I would be the first girl in it. So me and one of three girls, two of which are dead, I'm the only one still alive, we're the first one, and of course, I'm convinced the Lord opened that up for me and my daughters to be able to be reunited with them, and then, of course, all the other women that are ministered to by that program even now. But, yeah, you learn to trust in God, and don't forget it, because there are times when it's easy to forget those things, little or big. So remain faithful. And you'll have your own stories just like that in your life. Amen. Rose.
Well, I feel like I'm a little bit brave because I told Paula I didn't want to know my scriptures until I got here. Now I kind of regret it a little bit, but and she gave me two, and I didn't know I was doing two. So which one am I doing? 28:7. Okay. So Psalm 28:7 says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart triumphs, and my song I shall thank him." And the first thing I thought is, when I read the words, "and my song will thank him," I'm not a singer, but our words can be. And I thought, you know, I have been asking the Lord, when we think about trust, I work at a job that I've been at for 36 years almost, and I have wanted to quit and retire for about 2 years, a little over 2 years now. And I kept giving the Lord little fleeces, saying, "This is, if you do this, then maybe I will be able to retire." And one of them was last year, and I have a Christmas cactus, and I wanted it to bloom before June 30th. It didn't. It had all kinds of buds, but it did not flower. And I thought, okay, Lord, that was my fleece. If any of those would bloom, none of them bloomed. And so anyway, I came home one day, and I'm a team lead, and I've got more responsibilities than other people. And I was just kind of whiny, you know, to the Lord. I'm like, "Lord, I'm tired. It's not fair. I always have more work than everybody else. I always got to do all these extra things." And I said, I went to bed, and I'm like, "Lord, I just don't believe it's your will. I want to be more in ministry. I love to pray for people." And so I kind of just fell asleep talking to the Lord, and I woke up in the morning. I worked 4 days from home, one day on site, and my computer didn't work. And I'm like, "Well, Lord, I can't work." And I thought, well, I'm not going to take that as God's will. So I said, I did another fleece. I said, "Lord, I want to know. I said, if you know, you show me again that you don't want me to work, it's okay to retire a little early. I'm going to retire." And so when I went to work that Monday, I got to work, my computer didn't work. So I said, okay, that's my sign. Tuesday, I gave my notice. And so I am retiring October 2nd. Yeah, it's next Monday is my last day at work. And so when you think about trusting, I think of how many times could I have done it before the timing that he said, because I'm impatient and I wanted to go. So sometimes, you know, if this word is for anybody and you're wanting something and it's not happening, if we push it in our own time, in our own way, it's not going to work out. But I believe that it was all God's timing that did it. I work at St. Luke's. We might merge with another hospital. That could change my pension. And I didn't know that at the time I gave my notice. So I'm like, I have a very good pension. So I'm like, I'm so excited. So his word says it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And sometimes, you know, that path, when we say we walk by faith and not by sight, sometimes we have to really walk that out, and it's not as easy as it looks. But I encourage you, if there's something that you want, wait in his timing. Don't push it. Jackie. Jennifer. Oh, she knew. Good thing.
Hi. Oh, goodness. So about a year ago, last fall, so I journaled prayer in my prayer journal or journal, whatever. "Lord, should I start looking for another job?" And I was just feeling that restless, uncomfortable, something's going to change feeling. And I came to church that night, and I was asked if I wanted to a full-time job working for Millie's house. And I was like, Oh my gosh. So anyway, that has started since then, has been the greatest like faith test, trust I've ever had. And my verse is Psalm 13:5, "But I have trusted in your faithfulness, my heart shall rejoice in your salvation." And I looked up the psalm just to see, to get some context, and it has six verses, and in the beginning of the psalm talks about, it's David, and he's talking about God hiding his face from him, and like how long he should have to wrestle with his thoughts. And I think for me, I could identify with that in the ways that I have trust issues, I guess, and they kind of go back to like, you know, having an absent father out of the home and just a broken family. And so anyway, God is faithful, and about a month ago, I was with my daughter at an appointment, and it was in the new Essentia building, so you can see out over the lake. And sometimes the Lord speaks to me in poems or whatever. And so I was sitting there looking out over the water and just felt like he was going to speak to me. And so I wrote out this poem. And says, "Do you have faith? Do you have faith the size of a mustard seed? Do you have faith that will hold the walls of the sea? Do you have faith that will hold in times of need? Trust me, trust me. Do you have faith to become what you couldn't be? Do you have faith to behold what only faith can see? Trust me, trust me." And then, trust me, I am your hold and your keep. Trust me. Do you have faith outside of what you believe? Do you have faith to overcome impossibilities? Just receive, trust me, and then trust me, I am your hold, I am your keep. So, amen. Karen.
Proverbs 3:3-7. "Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so that you will find favor and a good reputation in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil." I like the New King James Version, and instead of kindness, it's mercy. And mercy is showing compassion or forgiveness to an offender when it's not warranted. And that made me think of Matthew 5:7. "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy." And that kind of led me down the road of, well, bind that around your neck. That goes back to Deuteronomy 6:4-9, where it says, "They wrote the law on their hands and their foreheads." Well, if we think about our neck, Jeremiah references it as stiff-necked. What's stiff-necked? Disobedience. So do I want to be disobedient, or do I want to walk in obedience? 1 Samuel 15:23. He addresses stubbornness as an iniquity and an idolatry. "And because you," talking to Saul, "rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you from being king." So does our disobedience and our stubbornness cause blockage in our breakthroughs? In the contrast, we can look at David's life. He's a man after God's own heart. When confronted with his sin, he had conviction. He repented. Conviction is something that the Holy Spirit does and works in. It's not something we can do. And in that, when we're convicted, do we surrender and allow God to work in the moment? Or are we like Saul, doing it in our flesh? What's in your heart manifests, and that manifestation results in your reputation or you living as a testimony. So we can think, we have our heart, we can think what we think we say, what we say we do, what we do we become. What motivation are our actions showing? Are they showing Jesus or are they showing ourselves? Trusting in the Lord with all our heart, leaning not on our own understanding. Our own understanding is always going to be tainted by sin, limited in wisdom, impulsive in assumptions, and faulty with emotions. When we rely on all of this, it'll always fall short because it's something in the flesh, not something in the spirit. Acknowledging him, directing our paths, being wise in our own eyes. Being wise in our own eyes, I was reminded of the many times in Judges where it says, and the people did what was right in their own eyes. What was the result? It was always the Lord had to intervene because they were led to destruction. So are we being stubborn and having to have the Lord intervene time and time again? Or are we willing to say, God, help me. I want to surrender. I want to give it all to you. Renew my mind so I can have a different way of talking and a different way of walking. And then fear the Lord and turn from evil. What are you fixating on? Again, this goes back to earlier where he talks about your neck. Your neck turns your head turns your eyes. What you look at, that's where you're going. Are you looking at the Lord or are you looking at yourself? Most people don't have because they don't ask. That's scripture. Are we asking the Lord to help us surrender so we can have a renewed mind? So we can have wisdom of the Lord that's pure? Or are we doing it in our own means? So if anything, the song today that we sang of this is how I fight my battles, are you going to be like Saul, where you trust in your own flesh and the own natural man? He was a man tall of stature. Everyone thought the way he looked, he should be king. How did it end? Or are we going to be like David, when confronted by his sin with Nathan, had conviction, surrendered, walked in obedience, and had the Lord's favor.
Rose.
Mary Brown had, couldn't come, so Mary Rose got it too.
Two. Praise God.
I should have asked for these ahead of time instead of today when I got here. I've got Psalms 28:25, and I looked at the first words and I thought, oh, thanks, Paula Brown. It talks about an arrogant person. So I'm like, okay. It says, an arrogant person stirs up strife, but the one who trusts in the Lord will prosper. And right away after I read that, I felt the Lord say to me that I spent a chunk of my time, especially my early Christian walk, being an arrogant person. And that's not always easy to hear. But with humility, you can learn to walk in ways that God wants you to. And what does it say an arrogant person does? It has strife. And I thought, you know, I had a lot of strife when I was younger. But it says, but he who trusts in the Lord will prosper. And I feel like I have had God's hand upon me so many times, so many open doors, so many open windows, so many opportunities, so many blessings. And so I can say that I've learned from being an arrogant person. Another way is to say it's they're prideful. It's when you have to say, okay, Lord, how many times I would, being a new Christian especially, I would walk around my house and I'd say, okay, Lord, I heard enough today. I gotcha. You know? Yeah. But I learned from each one. And now I don't have to go around that mountain as many times as I used to. But it's the leading of the Holy Spirit, and it's through the guidance of the Holy Spirit when we get those small little checks in us that I think the best thing that a Christian can do is go to another person and admonish them, lift them up, give them an ear, give them a hug, and give them a word that they need to lift themselves up. So the opposite of arrogance is humility. And that is one thing that I hope as I grow in the Lord, I can show more humility. Jeannie?
Hi. My verse is Isaiah 12:2, which says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation." And that declaring, "Behold, God is my salvation," just a little testimony of when I was got saved. I was like 21, and I got married, and he was in the service. We had moved away to Oklahoma, and I was separated. Before that, I was like, there's friends that witnessed to me. I grew up in the Lutheran church, faithful in going there, but not really seeing that relationship that you need. And before that, I thought, I don't want to, you know, I'm having too much fun. I mean, I don't want to get saved. I don't want to give up all my life. But because I was isolated in that situation and God worked in ways in my life, I did accept him at that time. And I am just so thankful for my salvation because you can think, you know, why me? Why do I have this? Did I get this gift that is just the anchor of your life that I see like my brothers and sisters don't have? And it's just such a gift to have that. So that's such a little testimony there. And then it says, "I will trust and not be afraid." Another situation for me was like 3 years ago. I was going through, I have had mental illness problems throughout my adult life, but more so, and my husband was sick, and then I got even more sick. I got physically sick. I was in the hospital. I had sepsis. I was not communicating, and my kids came up and stuff, and the doctor said, "Well, we'll give her 12 hours and see how she does, and we'll kind of go from there." So from there, with God praying, you know, people praying and just working, I mean, I couldn't walk. I was like catatonic. I was full-time care, and God just... Lord say to be thankful for, I mean, I am so thankful for walking and doing things and being in this church and just having all the blessings that I have that God has, you know, given me. I am so thankful. I am so thankful for this church that is so loving and outreach and is looking out. It's an outreach church that is, you know, seeking people that are out there that are on the fringes maybe or something, but they need Jesus. So that's my testimony on he's my salvation, and then I will trust and not be afraid. So sometimes because I've had patterns, you know, when I wasn't well, of being anxious or paranoid or whatever, I think that the devil, or I'm not trying to say, you know, but things pop in your mind and, you know, and I would be afraid. And it says to trust and not be afraid. And I think fear is such a big thing in our society today that people are fearful and they need to know that God is there and that God is reaching out to them. God reached out to me. I wasn't reaching, you know, he reaches out to us. And he's my strength. He is my strength in every day and my song. And I do like, I like singing and I like music and Christian music. It just builds you up to listen to it. And he has become my salvation. He is my salvation and he will be forever. Amen.
Okay, I have Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in God, the Lord, we have an everlasting rock. You know, and if we could only keep that steadfastness of mind, Harley calls it stinking thinking. Right? And so often, our mind just goes, you know, I tend to worry more, you know, if somebody's late or something, you know, the worst things go through my mind. I'm already thinking, praying, oh, Lord, when they're scuba diving, keep those sharks away, you know. And so my mind tends to go in those areas. We can be trying to, you know, how often when we're reading the Bible or praying, all of a sudden we find our mind is a million miles away from God, and we're thinking about dinner or clothes or something that needs to be done. You know, we just, our mind can just go off. And let me see my notes here. Oh, and then also listening to the enemy. I mean, he's always speaking in our mind. He's always accusing us of stuff. He's always telling us how worthless we are and how the things that we do wrong and everything like that. He gets into our mind. And the thing is, we need to control it. And it's not always that easy. But, you know, the Bible says, draw near unto me and I will draw near unto you. We're the ones, and God's not going to just wipe all those thoughts out of our mind. It's something we have to learn to have obedience over and direct in the right way. And I think of one time when, this was quite a few years ago, and I mean way back, we had gotten hurt really bad by some people. And then you go through it, and you get over it, and you go through the forgiveness thing, and you know, you go on. Well, this one day I woke up, and I just started going over it all again in my mind. How dare he say that, you know, and how wrong it was. And I was just going on and on. This went on for a while, and I found myself getting angry and more depressed and more bugged about everything, you know, and bugged at people, and then more things start to bother you. But then I realized, I got to stop this, you know, I got to get control of this, and, you know, knowing it wasn't what God would have. And so I turned on the TV because I know of a ministry that was on at that time. And just, you know, looking for the Lord. Lord, help me get in the right mind. And I turned it on, and shortly after that, this preacher looked at the TV or at the camera, so it's right, and said, but you. And I'm like, oh, you know, yeah. And she says, the Lord is saying, get over it. I've given you time to grieve. I've given you time to heal. Don't go back there. And so, boy, I knew God was speaking to me, you know. But that's just it. We have to recognize when we're in those spots where God doesn't want us to be. When we're thinking those things, God doesn't want us to think. And we need to stop it. Whether we turn on worship music, whether we get our word in the, you know, into the word or in prayer. But it's something we have to do. And God will be right there to help us and to direct us and get us into the right state of mind. Amen.
Okay, the scripture that I was given was Jeremiah 17:7-8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is in the Lord. for he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and does not fear when the heat comes. But its leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. Well, when I prayed over this and I asked for guidance, the Lord God said, look at the entire chapter of 17, Jeremiah 17. And it says, the sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron, with the point of a diamond. It is engraved on the tablet of their heart and on the horns of your altars, while their children remember their altars and their wooden images by the green trees on the high hills. O my mountain in the field, I will give as plunder your wealth, all your treasures, and your high places of sin within all your borders. And you, even yourself, shall let go of your heritage which I gave you, and I will cause you to serve your enemies in the land which you do not know. For you have kindled the fire in my anger, which shall burn forever, thus says the Lord. Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. And this spoke volumes to me, because in my own experience, the Lord God gives and he takes away. And there have been seasons in my life. I was raised in an upper middle class family. We had a lot of money. We had double residences. We had more than enough. And I grew up thinking I had it made in the shade, man. I didn't have to work hard. It was all handed to me. I deserved that. I earned that. Oh, no, I didn't. And the Lord God brought me to a church where they were teaching about everybody who had the nicest car, who had the best house, who took the most fancy vacations. It wasn't about the Lord God at all. They were all about what was in the world. And the Lord God taught me, and he took all of that away from me, and I had nothing but him. And it was like, oh, man, this is cool. This is way better than that stuff. I don't care about that stuff anymore. I used to spend money on lottery tickets saying, somebody's got to win, might as well be me. I used to get the publisher's clearinghouse sweepstakes things and say, you don't have to buy, but boy golly, I ordered all those magazines thinking, maybe if I order the magazines, I'll be the one that wins. Today, if the truck rolled up to me, I'd say, no, give it to somebody else. I don't need any of that trouble. No, thank you very much. If you love the things of this world, you don't belong there. I don't love the things of this world. I love the things that he represents. And this is what spoke volumes to me. Because even me, you guys, it's like, whoa, baby, me, even me. People will come up to me and they'll say, do you remember when you said this? No. Because when the Lord God speaks to me and he tells me what to say to different people, I'm operating under him. And I really don't remember what I say. But they'll come back to me and they'll say, do you remember? No, but cool. Isn't he great? You know, and I give him all the honor and the glory, because that's where it belongs. It isn't me. And I know how filthy I am or was without him. And I don't ever want to be far away from him. I want to be tucked into him so close that on Judgment Day, on the Bema Seat, I don't want to hear the Lord God say, get away from me, I never knew you. I want to hear him say, you can come to Papa. That's what I want to hear. Amen. Teresa. Oh, Lisa.
And this is ESV I got, just to be a rebel. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. And this is like my favorite verse. Paula, she was giving me a different one. And then she sent me this one, so I thought, oh, okay. So trust in the Lord means to be assured to know what is going to happen. Having faithfulness means being loyal, staying close, or binding to. To be good means to be sound and not weak. To delight in him means more than joy. It means having the highest pleasure in him. What do you get the highest pleasure in, huh? Just to think of that. So because we trust in him and know him and are loyal to him, not only will he give us his heart's desires, and this is what he always says to me, he gives us our heart's desires. So as we draw close to him, and as we're loyal to him, and as we bind to him, and as we throw ourselves into him, as it says, to commit to him means to throw ourselves onto him, or to put our lives in his hands, he will act and answer our prayers. Our heart's desires are his heart's desires. It's not about us anymore. Am I the last person? So, seeing Psalm 91. It's a bit quick, honest. I just think of our brother Steve back there. His son is in jail with a heavy-duty load. He's 20 years old, but the drug addiction, selling drugs, and his heart is breaking back there for his son. And I think whether you're the addicted one or we know somebody addicted or in rebellion, this is what Brian and I pray a lot of nights together. So if you would just want to bow your heads or pray and put whoever in there, I will say, our family who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Mighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For you, Lord, will deliver my family from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. You will cover them with your pinions and under your wings, that they will find refuge. Your faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night. My family will not fear the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at my family's side, 10,000 at their right hand, but it will not come near my family. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Because my family has made the Lord you, their dwelling place, the Most High, who is our refuge. No evil shall be allowed to befall them. No plague will come near their tent. For he will command his angels concerning my family to guard them in all their ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Our family will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent they will trample underfoot, because they hold fast to God in love. He will deliver them. He will protect them because he knows their names, because he calls to them, because they call to him. He will answer him. He will be with them in trouble. He will rescue them and honor them. With long life, they will be satisfied, and he will show them his salvation. Amen.
Amen. Hey, guys. You guys, you listening to me now? You didn't know that the modern 12 disciples were women, did you? Huh? I think you got a word, right? Hey, Mike? Huh? Amen. God is good. And he lives in all of us, you know? I think about some of the stuff that, you know, you go around and you see a lot of different places and churches, and a lot of people aren't being used, aren't finding their place in Christ, because how many know that God made us all an ambassador of Christ? As we begin to drink in the things of God, you can be a fresh drink in a dry place for someone in their life. Amen? So, Lord, we just thank you for tonight. God, we thank you for each and every one that spoke. Lord, we pray, Lord, that your word would not come back void. And, Lord, each and every one of us would learn whatever situation we're in, that I will trust in thee with all my heart, all my strength, and all my soul. And we give all the glory to who? Amen. To Jesus. Amen. I think you're free, right? Or do you want to go again for another 12?